Blog Talk Radio.
Month, ready for everything. Welcome, people. Welcome to She's Raising the Bar. Coming at you live and kicking on Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And we're here.
Wolfman Jack. This is Wolfman Jack coming to you.
Well, I'm a DJ. that's the DJ banter, Elite Ziegelman. You know that. You know I got to do what I got to do.
Coming live.
You know what I got to do. Welcome, people. Welcome back. Today, we have a really, really, I mean, I think we usually have a fun show. This show is definitely going to be a little bit more
topic sensitive.
It's going to be a little bit more serious in texture. Anybody, you know, I was going to say people on the West Coast, everybody I think in the world at this point knows the transaction from last week to this week as far as the topic of sexual harassment. And it's just been
what actually happened on October 8th,
right?
That was the day it blew up.
Right. So that was today, the 17th. Yeah. And you know what's funny is you and I were discussing this before the show. This is nothing new. This is really nothing new. Sadly, this is nothing. This is nothing that I'm surprised at. This is nothing that would make me say, "Wow, can you believe this?" No. This is nothing new. What is different, and you and I said it before, if this had happened last year, there wouldn't be as much outrage because our administration last year was a healthy, masculine
man.
Human being.
Mm-hmm. Gentle,
yes.
Understanding of women's
yes.
issues.
This administration
this pig.
Is a predator. And this administration is why this behavior goes undocumented, gets challenged with legal adversity, and this is why women stay quiet, because of the administration. And this is why it's gotten to, I mean,
people are not staying quiet.
The Me Too campaign, the hashtag Me Too, mm-hmm. is something that has just caught on like paper on fire. And like I said, there's nothing that I can see that makes this case any different than Anita Hill, than anything that's happened in the past. But why now? Because the people that voted this person in gave, now we can't get the toothpaste back in the tube. Now it's too late. We voted in behavior that condones this, that covers it up, that sweeps it under the rug. That's what this administration does, and that's why we're so outraged. And you know what? Thank God, because I always said everything negative in this administration is going to bring out something positive in us.
Mm-hmm.
And women are striking back. And not just women, the good men that walk beside us, the
mm-hmm.
people that are reasonable and will stand up for us and respect women and their rights in society and honor their mothers, their daughters, their friends, their sisters, their girlfriends, their wives.
Exactly.
These are the people that are walking with us, and these are the people that are outraged. And in saying that, we have a great show today because we're going to tackle this. Sexual harassment, we all know what it is. We all know how it exists, but why are we allowing it? What can we do to change it from both standpoints, from raising our little girls and raising our little boys? This is what we're going to discuss today. And what categories, because, you know, there are so many layers to sexual harassment, not just in the workplace. It comes into our daily lives in very different shapes and forms. And what we have to do as a collective is decide what it is exactly, what it means to us, what just constitute light flirtation. I mean, let's be serious. People are going to like you. People are going to just try to, mm-hmm. you know, talk to you and sweeten you up and say, look, that's not what we're talking about here. But when it morphs into crossing over that line, it makes it very different to us. And not just us as women, just us as a society. And that's what we're going to discuss today. Because, honestly, it's going to be, it's probably could go in very, very different directions. And our panel today are going to be the lovely Nancy Donahue, going to be Patricia Martin, and Winter Gabriel. And, you know, it's tough because everybody could share as much as they want and as little as they want. We're not saying anybody share any specific instance, but what we need to do is just have a dialogue on the importance of, like I was saying last week, the women that made the major pushes for us, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, the women that really, really put their necks on the lines to see the rights that we enjoy that maybe they never lived to see. We've become that faceless mass. We're doing it for the generations before us. So we got to do this right. We got to figure out what it is, why it is, and how we let it go this long. Because clearly, this is something that we don't want to hand over to our daughters and our nieces and our granddaughters and great nieces.
Right.
This is really it. Before we introduce our panelists, let me introduce my lovely co-host, always to my left and always close to my heart, the lovely Elite Ziegelman.
Well, thank you.
And
my co-host, the lovely Lori Towers.
Thank you, darling. And without further ado, let's bring on our panelists and let's let them shout out the names as they come on.
Hello, who are you?
I think it's Winter.
It's definitely Winter.
Hello, ladies. Hello.
Hello.
Gabriel on board.
And who's next?
Yes,
who am I speaking to? Hello?
Hello?
Oh,
I think
Patty.
That's my lovely Patty. Patricia Martin.
Here I am.
Nancy.
Hi there.
And my girl Nancy is back.
Welcome, everybody.
Hey.
Yep. And, you know, everybody on board, thank you for being here today. This is going to be a show that's going to go in many directions, so we're going to be as flexible as possible with this. But, you know, for everybody who's listening when we open the show, this has been a hell of a week because every day I see a comment on social media about, oh, my God, I can't believe how many of my friends was the hashtag Me Too. And, you know, what I've been saying to men is, and, you know, the men that have been, like, completely appalled and repulsed by this.
Well, I'm just going to take a step backwards.
Go ahead.
With the hashtag.
Go ahead.
A lot of women that were sexual harassed or...
Oh, yeah.
They never came forward.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come forward. They don't open it up to people. They don't say, you know what?
Of course.
You know, I got sexually harassed last week.
Of course.
It's something that people just don't
talk about. It's a
dirty,
rotten secret. Yeah.
And for some reason, a lot of ladies think it's their own fault.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe they wore the wrong top.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a platform for everybody to say, oh, my God, it's not only me. And it was like, whoa, it just hit everybody in the face.
And I'm still sure that even with this being a safer version of telling your tale.
Well, it's always a safer version.
I think that there are a lot of women that didn't come forward. I still think there are probably women
that
didn't.
There is a lot of women. And usually the ones that don't come forward are the ones that have been hiding it for years.
Of course.
You know, they've been hiding
and
it for years.
And what I've been telling men is... on one form or another, and the men that have been just like, I can't believe this and really sickened by this, on one level or another, all of the women in your life have been harassed on some level. If we're even going to talk about street harassment, the catcalls, the kiss noises, and I'm not just talking about good morning, beautiful, have a nice day. That's not what we're talking about. Every woman in their lives at one point has been faced with a form of harassment. And I think that's what people don't realize, the different categories this falls into. And, you know...
And every woman has that instinct knowing that something's not feeling comfortable.
Of course, of course.
So, you know, you could say, good morning, beautiful. And I go through this every week at the gym, this old man that's always, like, touching my arm. Good morning, beautiful, you know. Just, I know what he wants, you know, how he's going there. But I just run away, and I just say, good morning to you, too, and I go back.
Yeah.
But it's up to the woman, I think, to just, you know... be careful with who you're dealing with. And if you don't feel good about it, then there's something wrong.
See, now, but see, this is what we're going to discuss today. Because obviously something ain't working because this continues.
It's never going to stop.
No, but see, there's got to be something that we do, and it's a bifold thing. It's going to be certainly you know, nurturing our little boys to understand that you could be, you could have strong women with you and still be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And our little girls that, you know what, you don't deserve, you didn't do anything if you're inappropriately come on to. It's not your fault.
Right.
And you can say no. And, you know, your voice is valuable. And but what I think the best way to and usually we wait for the lovely Patty Martin to inspire us with her words. She had something that I wanted her to say, I think, more in the beginning of the show because it's going to allow a lot of different branches to come out of this. Patty, do you have that?
I do.
Okay.
Sure.
You feel comfortable, are you comfortable reading it now?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I've been working on a couple of pieces before the whole Pandora's box opened. And this one, actually, though, I wrote yesterday inspired by knowing we were going to talk. And it was good to write, and it's going to be great to share. It's an early experience. It's called The Walk. First touch before first kiss. Good little parochial school girl, new to menstruating, let alone wise to the ways of boys, instructed by my Irish Catholic mother to walk the 2 miles to church by myself for Friday afternoon Lenten service. A perfect day for a walk, the sights so familiar, the curving road, pretty suburban houses, the smell of earth waking up, newly sprouted green grass, crocus and daffodil stretching up, the breeze fresh. No one was around. Occasionally a car would pass by, or my pretty Mary Janes would crunch a pebble. Otherwise, all was quiet and solitary. I was feeling independent, enjoying the reverie of my own little girl thoughts. One sloping hill away from town and the sanctuary of St. John's, a boy walked toward me. I did not know him. He was cute. I was shy and did not look at him. He drew closer and on approach suddenly veered to my side of the walkway, reached out, cradled my crotch in his hands, murmured something I could not quite hear, and kept going as if nothing was out of line, nothing was unusual, nothing was wrong. I kept going, not sure what had happened, not sure why my cheeks felt so hot, not sure why I felt ashamed. What had he said? What was I to do? So I kept walking. My feet did not stop. I did not look back and never told a single soul.
That's heavy. Now, see, what my question is,
it happens every day.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, my question is...
That's heartbreaking for a little kid.
Right. Why, and I'm sure this little boy did not walk away feeling ashamed, why did he somehow think that he was completely justified in doing that and a little girl walked away ashamed? See, this is where it happens. And again, it's a little boy who somehow got the impression with something that we're teaching that is completely permissible for him
to learn this.
Well, Lori, I have to interrupt for a second. I don't know if that's particular. It can be true in some cases,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nancy.
But I'm going to say this happened to me when I was probably 9, exactly what you just read. So... And I think part of it is the boy who did it to me was of that young puberty age where sexuality was new to him as well. And I don't think he knew.
Right.
I think later on in life we both knew it
sure.
was whatever he did was wrong. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's always taught. I think, you know, everyone's discovering their bodies, their feelings, their
sexual
emotions.
Sexual nature for a boy to grow into it before us.
Yeah, they don't know what it is they're feeling and what they're doing, quite honestly.
They're going about it.
Well, you know, and then we have to look at, like, allowing kids playing doctor. See, that's where I'm saying, what is the line that we say is crossing?
I did play doctor when I was young.
No, I understand that. But where do we as adults say, With children, okay. There's a certain amount of sexual curiosity in both
yes.
senses. I understand.
Right.
But where do
yes.
we decide that we're going to take our children aside and say, okay, now, remember.
So why would you want to cross the line when it's just natural behavior?
Because after...
Well,
because
here's the thing.
You're
I
making it more
no,
of
because
a...
You have to have responsibility because the natural behavior is going to morph into something else.
But you don't understand. They're not going to do it in front of their mother and father.
No, but what I'm trying to
no,
say...
No, they're not. Yeah, exactly.
No, but what about the talk? There has to be some responsibility.
So, but I have to go back to playing
old.
Doctor.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to go back to playing doctor. I played doctor with all my young friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were probably... I can't remember, like 6, 7, 8, 9 were in the basement of somebody's, you know, I grew up with tons of kids in my neighborhood, and we all played doctor, not knowing what we were doing.
Right, exactly.
And taking
right.
your pants down and putting something on your
right.
the your genitals or something. We did this. We didn't know what
course.
We were doing.
Right.
We had no idea
I think
what
every
we were
child,
doing.
Every child has experimented with that. But I have a little girl and I have a little boy, if I may
go
interject.
Ahead, go ahead.
And it's very natural for them, being 3 years apart. This probably started when my daughter's 6, probably when she was 5. And, you know, my boy was about 7.5, let's say. So they would bathe together. And it was very natural for them to every now and then want to touch each other's privates and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have to say to them, and I still do today, because now my boy is 9, and all of a sudden,
yeah.
like that,
mm-hmm.
I want to call it the spring awakening.
Right, right.
He might want to touch my daughter and laugh, or touch himself and laugh, which is a separate issue. But when it comes to touching each other, every single time, it's not necessarily a scold.
Mm-hmm.
I just say,
of course.
Kids, we keep our hands to ourselves
yep.
with
right.
our private.
Exactly.
Of course.
You
yep.
do not touch somebody else's
right.
private parts. That is, you know, that is not allowed. And, you know, as they're getting older, I think with my little one, I might have said, the only, at separate times I said to them, the only person that has ever touched your private area is yourself, mommy, if I need to, because
mm-hmm.
you're hurt, or a doctor, if need be, if you're hurt and I'm in the room. You
right.
know, so now that's at one stage. What you're talking about with doctor, I was right there with you. Okay.
Yeah,
I
we all did.
Probably
it.
All were.
I had the best
yeah.
doctor kit.
Natural.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is, if I may say, is that when we were playing doctor, we both, whoever it was, we both were kind of in it together,
right?
So it was like
yeah.
an experimental thing where we were both consenting
mm-hmm.
And exploring.
Exactly.
And I think that doesn't fall into the same category because it's not a violation if you're
right.
experimenting and you both want to.
Yeah.
It's very different if they're different ages or if it's not invited. So if you're walking down the street as a child and another child or an older person, you know, grabs
yeah.
you, it's still different in my opinion because – you know, I wish someone had said to them, you know, you don't do that. So,
mm-hmm.
yes, it's natural, but, you know, we need to make sure that we let these children know at a very young age
right.
what's right and wrong. And then, of course, you know, things happen
right.
through that sort of puberty.
And kids are going to do what they want to do without you knowing.
Exactly.
Everything's
exactly.
done behind
exactly.
the parents'
of
back.
Of course, but what I was trying to say is, what is the culture of behavior that allows a little boy to do it? Patty didn't do it to him. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm saying. What are we doing in our society? And this is the point that I'm making. What is defining masculinity? What do we have to do to our male counterparts to make them feel secure enough to not feel that they are less of a man if they don't rape, if they don't put a woman in a situation where she's feeling intimidated, where they're not manhandling? This is what I'm saying. And I always go back to, it's nature, it's nurture, yes, but there's a certain amount of behavior that's taught.
Craziness, too.
Yes. But
no, but that's understood. But I think we talked about this on another call, but I'll repeat it because
good.
It's pertinent to this.
Sure.
Sure.
It's all in as you how you raise your children, and as I've told you, I was a single mom with my son George, and I spoke to him about this topic when I think he was in fifth or sixth grade after he had sex education, da da da. And growing up through his life, I said, you have to respect a woman. I don't want you to take advantage of a woman. You know, I gave him that talk all day long, all night long, and that's part of why he has such great girlfriends, not necessarily intimate, but he's well-liked by women because he's so respectful of women. But it was taught behavior, of course.
That's exactly
and
right.
And you being
usually
such a strong mother,
point.
Nancy,
right. And
that
that's
was
how
a
it
great example
usually.
For him.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's
just
really
important.
You know,
when a child has that example of a mom, it's wonderful, a very strong mother with such a role model as you were. I think that changes how a boy is raised, too. It's a beautiful thing. Instead of a very quiet, passive mother who maybe didn't have the hierarchy in her home that, say, the father did, you know, it impacts a son, I believe.
Right. Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. And it's important to discuss with both girls and boys. It's not just boys. It's
absolutely.
I mean, you know,
that's
women
right.
can take advantage of a man just as well as a man can take advantage of
definitely,
a woman.
Definitely.
Too. No. You know, no questions asked. So.
But I think that
you
know what, Lori.
Go ahead,
Winston.
Oh no. Well, you know what? One of my shares, ironically, is with a female. So I think it's actually an interesting, to your point, you know, it has to be taught to both females and males, and little girls and little boys. And a lot of times things go on in homes that you don't know. And most of the time children learn from behaviors in the homes, but we had neighbors that had children that were older than us, and my parents were very close to their parents at the time. And what we didn't know, which we later found out, which I really want to say, because obviously this girl had some disturbing things, but there was five children. Her eldest brother and sister were having sexual intercourse. So clearly, something
Wait,
very bizarre
with each
was
other?
Happening.
With each other?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Boy. Oh, boy.
Now, I had the middle girl babysit me. Now, I didn't know, my parents didn't know about what was happening with the two eldest siblings at the time. So something was not right in the house, because if that is going on, I really think that that's learned behavior in some weird way. But unfortunately, my experience with this middle girl, who was not involved with the sibling experience, but she was a babysitter, she would do this to me and to all children on the block that she was babysitting for. It turned out she did not touch me, thank goodness, but she shamed me repeatedly by insisting that we play doctor or we play weird games where I had to undress. And I had to do shameful things. And she made me feel ashamed and embarrassed. And when I got upset, she said, don't you dare tell your parents this is our secret. So unfortunately, and I think it's important to bring up, it does mostly happen with boys.
It could
However,
be.
You know what?
Of course.
When strange things happen within the house,
yeah.
It can happen with females, too.
Exactly.
And hopefully this situation got rectified for these poor children. They were only teenagers.
Oh,
one was a middle schooler, to learn and get healed from that, because unfortunately it seems to happen then the cycle of unhealthy
it repeats itself.
Repeats.
Yep.
Yes. But it's just an example of it's not always boys, right?
No. No, but sick things happen in that house.
Oh, I hate to think. I hate to think.
Really sick.
Oh, my
God. Sick behavior from old kids.
It took a while to come out. It was not me to bring it out because, you know, it's interesting when your family is friends with the parents and they act so
normal in front of the other parents, of the other adults.
I have to ask a question. How did it get out that you knew that they were having, the kids were having intercourse with each other? How did that get out?
My mother, eventually children in the neighborhood started to complain to their parents about this babysitter, our neighbor.
Okay. And
then I had to tell my parents. And then the parents had to confront the parents of these people that were our neighbors. And then it all came out in a story later on about the children with the home, because it actually got investigated. It was sort of a high-profile thing because the guy was a cop in our father. So it got a little bit, things came out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And
that's how
my oldest daughter was very sexually, when she was sleeping around. Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to find the nice word.
Yeah.
Yes, she was at such a young age. And, you know, a lot of behavior that was calling out for a lot of times these girls that are behaving that way, it's really a cry for,
it's acting out.
It's almost like, exactly.
But
exactly.
I'm wondering if the girl was abused by one of the parents, you know.
I think there had to have been that, because how did her brother learn? That's the only thing I can think of. You know, from the father.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What do we take from that? For me, as a positive, because I always say, how do I learn from that? Is, boy, am I careful with babysitters. I'm careful with learning a little bit about their family. And I'm really careful with keeping an open communication with my children, because who knew that I wouldn't feel comfortable to tell my parents?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But it was such a strange dynamic, because that was their social.
Yeah.
Those adults were their social people. They were at our house having barbecues and socializing. So it gets very, the web, and it, you know, it happens all the time. Complex, but I really want my children to, I say to them, you tell me anything at any time. I don't care how worried you are that this is going to affect me and get you in trouble. No way. You can tell me. You will never, ever, you will never get in trouble with me. We will work it out. You can come to me. Because they know we have to give them a voice.
That's
well, you
that's
have to have
really
a, right.
important
you have to
because
have a good relationship with your kids to really make them feel comfortable with you.
It's so prevalent, and I know. Since time, you know, centuries ago, I mean, abuse and rape were ways to control and power and so forth. But I know, for example, the statistics are, current statistics, that 1 in 5 women will be raped at some point in their lives, which is horrific, and 1 in 70-something men. But when I was interviewing women for The Right Side of 40, I had a number of women tell me, not prompted by me, because it wasn't on the questionnaire, it wasn't one of the places that I would, you know, intend to go. I had so many tell me about instances of rape, of attempted rape, of incest, of all kinds of you know, sexual harassment experiences that were, you know, perpetrated on them. And some of them, like a couple of them, said it was off the record because they didn't want to hurt their mothers, they didn't want to know their husbands to know, whatever.
Exactly.
But one of the women who was, like, amazing, she was so brave. And she had been raped by her minister since she was a child. Her mother would make her go to church. The minister would pick her up and abuse her. And then she would go home and start to tell her mother, and her mother would punish her and lock her in a closet. And so she wasn't given a voice the way that, you know, Winter, you're encouraging your children to. And this gave her some horrible, you know, psychological issues, and she ended up on all kinds of drugs to treat this, and she became, she became an addict. And to her credit, she got herself off of drugs. She got help as an adult, and now she's a counselor helping other people so they don't go through what she went through. And I remember when I was working on the book, it's like these are women who just volunteered, and it was over 10% of them. And I figured, you know, this is just the icing on, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg, because, you know, how many other women didn't, you know, didn't discuss it who had had those experiences. And even I remember as a young, young girl, I was maybe 7 or 8, the grandmother I adored, my father's mother, in her little accent with her crooked little finger, would say to me, "Men are no good. Men are beasts." And I remember when I was a kid thinking, "What's she talking about? My dad's a man. My uncle's, you know." I was like, but then later on, as an adult, I'm like, I wonder what the hell happened to her.
Exactly.
That she was cautioning me to stay away from men. They're no good. They're beasts.
Right.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but just to interject, I saw Novitiate last night. Does anybody know about that film?
Oh, no. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Let me turn that other phone off. No, it was amazing. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. And it's all about the monastery.
What is it, Nancy? See what?
It's Novitiate. It's with the nuns growing up, the young women growing up in the monastery. And talk about abuse.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Talk about abuse. Oh, and I grew up in Catholic schools and all that stuff. And it's to your point about, you know, Catholic schools and things. I know we're going sideways here, but I just wanted to interject that while you were talking about, you know, the priest and everything. But, you know, that, you know, these nuns were nut jobs. Nutty. Yeah.
There was a nun who had a former nun who had approached me about working with her on an autobiography. She actually had a court case going. This was several years ago.
Yeah.
A court case going against the mother superior because she said she had been raped.
But
and I didn't want to venture into that arena. But it was so behind closed doors.
No, behind closed doors is right. So when you get a chance, you girls should all see it. But anyway,
I would love to. You know, it seems to me that. We're luckier in this generation because we are more aware. It is an awareness that is brought. And I know that sounds a little bit contradictory because it's, so many people have been sexually assaulted. However, at least we're talking about it. And at least these experiences are helping us to better give these young generation of children a different experience, because it does seem when you go further back, the experiences are just kind of awful, because I don't know that it was kept so hush-hush, and so at least we're more aware and we're evolving more, and that's why these types of discussions are so important. And you know, even just the message that we give our children going through puberty, I think is so important. You know, I think that my mother did not have a healthy experience going through puberty. And I don't know what happened to her father, but she was embarrassed and she was sort of abused physically for misbehavior, but sometimes she would tell me stories. I'm bringing this up for an important reason, but she would tell me stories where she would get her pants pulled down and spanked, and God forbid, sometimes it was her monthly situation, and she was screamed at and shamed and told she was disgusting.
Oh,
now, those really, really made her journey, very, very challenging. You brought up addiction before. A lot of things happen. Well, what the good news here is, my experiencing with puberty not so good, and then what I'm going to bring to my children, I'm going to try to be stellar. But what happens is that may not affect that woman, my mother, until she is a mother.
Right.
And then her child is going through puberty, and all of a sudden these memories come up and these feelings come up. And so what happened to me was, I was teased and not all the time and not terribly, but a bit shamed with it, and infuriated her sometimes to the point where I tried to hide it. There's so many layers I'm not really going to get into, but I will tell you, you don't know if you're not taught. And what I am able to do is I am able to raise my children, in a way that I am able to be, I'm going to be so, this is natural. This is exciting. Here's what you need to do. I am able to, because I was given the tools from just the way I was brought up in this generation. I'm very grateful from my experiences and grateful from what my mother was able to do for me later on when she became healthier. So, but I'm able to teach, because this is going to impact how my daughter reacts as a teenager and through sexuality and all these things, and my son. This is natural. This is wonderful. Here's what we do. And I'm going to be able to give her a different journey. And I think talking to children as they go into puberty is very important, and how you handle it. Because when it goes haywire, I believe that's when children misbehave and go into all these bizarre circumstances.
Yeah.
So, it's natural. Sexuality is natural, and becoming a woman and the way you deal with it. And so
the thing is, bravo to you that you can change the behavior, because the problem is that you were smart enough to know what your mother and what had happened to her in her past, and you're changing the behavior. And I was raised a very strict way. I was opposite of that. I've loved your story. But the thing is, some of the things my parents did that were very, almost too strict, I changed that when I raised my son. So the important thing is, you're changing the wrong behavior, and you're able to do it, and you're able to know what to do. And that's the beauty of that story for me, I think, is that you're strong enough and able to change the wrong behavior that happened to your mom and so forth.
I agree.
You know.
Yeah. And I was able to do that, and this, I'm not going to take over, but I was able to do that because of communication with my mother later on in life. And that's where I really applaud her, is that she, as she was healing through a lot of things in her life and in her journey, she was in such good communication with me and let me know what had happened, that I was smart enough to be able to figure it out and have forgiveness and an understanding. And at least I really... That's another thing. If we keep open communication and we really teach our children to talk and to be able to communicate, I think that that's helpful too. And that's
absolutely
where, you know, and to the women of all ages can change and can evolve and get better and get stronger. You know, so it's that's inspiring to me. And we have to keep staying strong, and that's how we bond together, women of all ages, and we're in a very, very challenging situation.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
I was sexually harassed by Donald Trump, remember, when we talked
about that
verbal exchange.
I wasn't,
you know,
I wasn't going to mention it. I'm glad you brought it up. It was yours to bring up, so I wasn't going to say it. Yeah,
I mean, just the sexual words and the taunting and, you know, him asking me if I, you know, telling his friend he could pick me or any of the other dancers to go home with. This is our president. Okay. But how about the women that he is targeting? And how about the women that we are dealing with today? We can become stronger. We can become with more knowledge and more support and hopefully make change.
Well, that's
you know,
that, great that this is getting out in the public, because it's going to open dialogue.
I want to know who voted for him. There's a lot of women that voted for him and adore him and love him.
Yeah, but you know
they're not
idiots. No, they're not.
Sure
they're not in their right head.
They're all idiots.
They're idiots. They don't even
naive.
Know what they're called. They're not. They're naive and they're not very intelligent.
No.
That's it.
You know what's interesting, and I think that what sexual harassment, I think, can get into a gray kind of subjective category, and I'll tell you why. Yesterday, I went to a friend of the show, Susan Silver, who wrote for Hot Pants in Hollywood Patty, you have the book.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Fabulous. She wrote for Mary Tyler Moore. She wrote for Rhoda. She wrote for Maud. She was like one of the first female
Bob
sitcom
Newhart.
Writers.
She yes, was
Bob
involved
Newhart,
with Laughing, on and on and on. Yeah.
She's great. Now, yesterday I went to, she was speaking at the Y. So, you know, she's a friend of the show. I went down, brought John with me. And we sat in the audience, and it was really wonderful because it's a very progressive audience. But her dialogue on what she went through in Hollywood. Now, again, she was, for some reason, and she's a beautiful, beautiful woman. She was never what she never was sexually harassed. She was, you know, they came on to her. She said no. They went away. And a few of the things, a few of the stories that she was telling, I was looking at John saying, but that's sexual harassment. And, the funny thing is, I'm looking around the room, and it was pretty much all women. And people were nodding, like looking at each other. And then finally, one woman got up and raised the question, okay, where do you make the fine line of distinction of what is sexual harassment and what's flirtation?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have to decide. I mean, it's different for everybody, but what, I mean, personally, I think the minute somebody puts their hands on your body and it's not something that you are encouraging, it's sexual harassment. Everything else gets, I mean, it gets into a weird area of, okay, is it flirtation if they stop? Is it sexual harassment in general? I mean, I look at what we consider part of socially acceptable harassment is the catcalls in the street. I usually shout it down. I usually take my sunglasses off and say something, and it stops. I'm lucky enough to be able to do that. I've always done it.
I can picture that.
But
I can too.
But it's like honestly, if you say good morning, how are you, beautiful? That's a different story. I'll say, well, have
right.
a wonderful
yes.
day. God bless you. But if you're making a noise to me, no, it's not. It's not going to happen. Now, granted, I can do that. I've always felt comfortable doing that. But what does the average person, the average woman, think is sexual harassment, and how can she, in her own way, stare it down?
I think that everybody's individually
but that's
different
what I'm saying.
In that kind of
I
way.
I want to get everybody's version
All
of
right.
it.
All right, go ahead. Who's first?
Winter, go ahead. Nancy, go ahead. Who?
Okay, all right, so this all brings up so many memories of me growing up modeling here in New York City, and
mm-hmm.
And it happened so often, Lori, to your point of the catcalling and everything. And I just basically, well, I would, you know, have all this makeup on and stuff. And I was a young girl, a young, naive girl. But I guess I was just used to it. And I guess it was part of the norm. And then on the photographer end of it, you know, I was probably, you know, what's the word? You know, they're like, oh, come on, sleep with me. You know, everybody's doing it, all this stuff. And I just totally shoved it off and didn't do it because it was part of, I hate to say this, but quote unquote, the norm that this would go on.
Mm. Yeah.
And, but I was smart enough to not jump in the bed with X, Y, and Z because it's just, I guess, my moral, just the way I was brought up. And I wasn't, you know, so. But it's very hard to tell you, but honestly, it was part of the norm growing up here in New York City as a model that that would kind of happen.
Mm-hmm.
I never went into the movie business, so I don't know about all this casting couch thing, which I'm sure we're going to get into, but that's my 2 cents on that.
I think it's so wonderful that you had, I think you hit it on the head. You had the confidence and the strength. And I think that to say no to the advances. And, you know, I think that that's kind of the defining way that, you know, I was a dancer and I happened to be a sexy dancer. I mean, I was always cast in like a funny thing on the way to the forum. I was like one of those sex, they're kind of sex like objects. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was always so it gets a little confusing, right? Like you want to look sexy. But that's your choice. That's a role.
Right.
And that's the minute somebody tried to treat me, whether in theater, whether by a director, it happened numerous times. I didn't have it. I have a way with humor. I make a joke. I'm a people pleaser probably to a fault. So I want to be liked. However, underneath that humor and that kindness, and there was a firm no. Yeah, didn't
exactly.
No. So having that strength and making it apparent, most of the time it shuts it down. Unfortunately,
yeah.
When it turns into, you know what I'm saying, a full-on assault. But to Lori's question, how do you control it? If you're, you know, if you're getting catcalled and you're okay with it because it's not, it's like a few whistles, maybe you're looking great, you're feeling great, and you don't say anything. If you're getting catcalls and you don't like it, it's harassment, you turn around and say, you know, shut up, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or if someone's making advances, if you project that energy or if you have to vocalize, it's, again, in my opinion, may not happen 100% of the time, but a lot of the times it's the inner strength and it's the message you send.
Right.
And again, that's inside of us and how we, you know, how we handle ourselves.
Yeah, how we handle ourselves, exactly. Patty?
Because
it can be confusing.
I was, you know, it's interesting. I was told, I mean, I always liked men. I'm a woman's woman and a man's woman. I adored my father. I had a great experience with my brother. He used to get in the crib with me and sing with me. You know, so I have, like, men are nice for the most part. And then if they prove to be a jerk, then that's, you know, another story. But I have a lot of male friends who have told me not to be so friendly, that I'm, like, too friendly, and that's an invitation, which is, like, odd to me. You know, so it's, like, I have had to learn to kind of contain my own way of walking through the world, my own way of being, in order to function without as many difficulties. That said, I've had 3 bosses who have propositioned me, and all 3 of them have been married.
Right.
And I remember the first time it happened, I was married, and I was in my in my mid to late 20s, and I remember I told him off, and I said, you know, try that again, and I'm out of here, and you've got to explain it to your wife. So I think when the occasion has presented itself where it's not appropriate and somebody crosses the line, and it always shocks me. I've learned, but it. You know, in the past, it's like always shocked me. Well, like, they were my friend, or they were my boss, or they were my coworker.
Right.
How could they do that? So you just kind of have to, unfortunately, have to kind of learn to have a bit of a, you know, a shield, you know, an invisible shield when you walk through the world a certain, you know, and you have to have that, like, you know, like you guys are saying, you have to have that inner core of, you know, you can't go beyond this boundary.
But
yeah,
Patty,
sure.
This is interesting because I'm like you are, it sounds to me, because I'm very friendly. I grew up with a lot of kids, a lot of family, and I can be overly friendly where I can get into the same situation, and it's just odd to me. Because I, you know, but and also to everybody's point, I mean, I'm a I touch. I say, hi, how are you? I hug, I'm touch.
Yep.
So, you know, am I doing anything to, you know, sexually attract anybody? No, but that's just the way I am. I'm a very hands-on person, which is to my detriment sometimes. You know, and then they get the wrong
impression. As an invitation or something.
I know, I know. And then I find out, and I've had people say that to me, you know, Nancy, you're a little bit too friendly, and this is why guys are da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I don't think of it that way because I grew up in this big, happy-dappy family, and we were all huggy, you know. And so,
right.
So it, you walk a fine line here. Now I'm 59, I kind of know what to do.
I'm going to agree with you both full on, and because I am the same way. But you know what? There is what I've been told, and I bet you two fall into the same category, is that my guy friends tell me how friendly I am, and one of my mentors that helped me get into teaching fitness said, she's like, Winter, you seduce men and women, but not in a sexual way. And I didn't know quite how to take that because I was, you know, pretty young. But now I've kind of come to the conclusion that you can be friendly and you can have a sense of really, because you really love humans and you want to be feeling a connection, doesn't have to be sexual con.
Right.
And if you're aware of the difference, then hopefully that's each other. As long as we're clear about it, it's the best interpretation. And they're either crossing the line, they're just, I don't know, oblivious. Because most of the time, I'm okay with friendly. And I can step, I guess, at the end of the day, have more knowledge.
Can you hear her?
Melissa, are you coming in
I
now?
I can't.
No.
Okay.
No, she's breaking up.
Now, love. Oh, I break up? Oh, right. I live in the boonies, I guess. I'm in boonies.
Now you're good. Now you're good.
Now
if
you're
stand
good.
Still
okay,
where
good.
You are.
And don't breathe, good. Winter. Stand still. <in the
house>. But you know, say that being friendly is okay. We don't have to be sexually giving advancements towards people, we can still be friendly and loving, even.
Unless you have too many drinks.
But you know something? This is my point. And stop being freshly. This is my point. I saw something on Facebook the other day, and it was a really nice one of those memes that said, "We teach women how not to get raped, but we don't teach men not to rape." So well, Nancy, I happen to know personally, is very friendly. I happen to be very friendly. I'm touchy-feely. I'm a honey person. I say, babe, there's nothing wrong with that.
For some reason, you, Lori, always like say, how do we teach the men not to
do
this?
No, but what I'm trying to say,
no fine line.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, how do we not, because it, like in rape cases, the first thing they ask is, well, what was she wearing?
Right.
Was she walking alone? All these things. And
that has nothing to do with the man.
Listen
that has
to what
to
I'm
do
trying
with
to say. Lee, follow me. Wait one second. The whole thing is we challenge the woman on, well, she shouldn't have been walking down that street.
Mm-hmm.
She shouldn't have been wearing that. But why not?
No.
Why do we always have to punish the victims? Why can't we?
It's always a double standard.
Oh, Donna Karen got called out for saying that, and after the Weinstein thing,
yes.
And she did an apology. Well, what were they wearing, kind of thing? Yeah, prevalent. Mm-hmm.
No, she did not. I didn't hear that.
Oh yeah, Donna Karen at first was like, "Well, look what they were wearing. What do they expect?" I mean, she issued a retraction that she was tired and didn't mean it. So.
That
was her
so
apology.
Insane.
She was tired.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about her is that I've met her personally on a few occasions, and she is a very smart woman. And I think for the most part, even if she doesn't say that she's a feminist, she is. That was a statement, and I'm sure she's wishing that she didn't say what she said. Because, I mean, there's a way of supporting your friend and not, throw your entire gender under the car. She could have
and
said,
blame the victims.
I've never seen that part of him. He's always been a wonderful friend to me. I'm sickened to hear this. That's the way of telling the absolute truth.
That's what a lot of other, what Meryl Streep and some of the other actresses have come forward with. Judi Dench, yeah.
That's what you have to say. I could imagine her loyalty to her friend. She's been friends with him some odd 30 years, and you don't want to think that. And you don't want to think that maybe what you saw was exactly that. But to say that, you know, in all intents and purposes, they probably deserved that is really...
They asked for it, yeah.
It's
going
to be very costly.
But the good thing, like you talked about earlier in the show, that when something like this, you know, dastardly comes, you know, to light, the good thing is... that there's strength in numbers, and all of a sudden the floodgates opened, or as they said on Saturday Night Live, I said before, it's like Pandora's box opened and she's pissed off. The good thing is that it started a strong dialogue, and people are coming forward that were, you know, stifling it and keeping it inside, and that relates kind of back to that poem I read a couple of shows ago about secrets way, that we keep these horrible secrets inside of us and they fester, but that when women talk, that's how there's healing. So, you know, coming forward, having that strength, having that number, and also I think it's giving a warning, a very strong warning sign to some of the predatory men in the world, that they're going to be held accountable there's not going to be that, you know, silence to
right.
hide behind. They can't hide behind it anymore. They're going to be called out. And I think, you know, if that's the, it's just, and good for the early, you know, good for all the act, you know, the people early on who came forward and blew the whistle on him. It's finally happening. I mean, Courtney Love mm-hmm. in 2006 or 5 made a comment about him at a award ceremony. Not that she had any personal dealings with him, but she was asked what advice she'd give women in the entertainment field, and she's like, mm-hmm. you know, don't be alone to be effective.
Yeah.
Don't get alone
don't
with you know
party,
with Weinstein.
Know.
And she was blackballed. I mean,
yeah.
she
was.
There
yeah.
were huge ramifications
yeah,
from her saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but that's because I wanted to, it's because of his power. So it's not only
yep.
men; it's men in power. That's the
men
that's
power.
The biggest
it's just
caveat
power
right here.
In general.
Yep.
It's just power
yes,
in general.
Exactly.
If you don't have it, you'll use it against. You know, you'll use it.
Yeah.
And if you
yeah.
have it, you'll use it even more.
And see, this is
I
yeah.
mean,
it was
so
actually her.
Project.
It was her talent agency that like blackballed her. They didn't want to get
yeah.
in bad standing with him.
Nope.
I mean,
well,
I think
I
Ashley
know.
Judd was amazing. I mean,
yeah.
the fact that she came out so strong like that and she helped open the you know open
Absolutely.
The floodgates.
Yeah, but I mean, he was protected on so many levels. The police didn't believe the women.
Yep.
I mean, he was protected all across the board, all because
yep.
of who he was.
And that gets
and
back
whole...
to the. And the media, too, would back down on the story.
Yeah.
Then that gets back to, you'll appreciate this, I'm sure, Nancy, that gets back to the Catholic Church sin of omission.
Yes,
right.
That all of these people, people and the media, whoever knew, and they were a party to
yeah.
it,
yeah.
they were complicit
yeah.
by
yeah.
their
yeah.
lack of standing up
yeah.
against it.
Yeah, because then
and
they felt if they did a story on it, then they would get blackballed. So it was like a trickle effect.
Yeah,
anybody that
yeah.
wants to really knew and call him out, then they would be afraid that they'd lose their job. They'd lose this. They'd lose that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the most, I think, the worst thing about this whole is the men in power that have all these other people
mm-hmm.
wrapped around their fingers.
Yeah,
it's not
that's
just
the whole thing.
The women.
It's power.
Yep.
And it's
you
a
know,
lot
and
of
good
power.
For the Oscar community for you know, for blackballing
yeah.
him out, but frankly, they should have done it a long time ago.
They only
now
did
they're
that
getting
on
the,
went
on
the bandwagon.
Well,
they went on the bandwagon,
you know,
so they didn't look bad. Otherwise, they wouldn't
right.
have done it.
What bothers me about this
exactly.
is I'm hoping, and I might be a cockeyed optimist, I'm hoping the same amount of women and flurry of activity behind all this would have still been present if he wasn't diminishing in power. See, this is the whole thing. He went from within a month. Being, for whatever reason, outside of this, being the fourth most powerful person in Hollywood to the 25th. And that's when all this came out. See, this is where he was diminishing in, you know, diminishing in power so people felt safe to say it. I want people to come out. See, this
know.
Is this
that
is
had
what
to do with it.
Of course it did. Of course it
yep.
did. If he was less powerful, hey, you know what? Maybe
I still think 25 is a good size of power.
It's not as powerful. So the thing is, if he was like spiraling downward, it was safe for a lot of people to say, you know what, he did, and they came forward. And God bless
right.
him. Believe me, there but for the grace of God, God bless him for coming forward. But this is what we need to do when people are still in power. We need to.
That's why Ashley Judd, I admire her so much
yeah.
because she's the one that was like, didn't stand up to you. I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it.
That's exactly
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
She was always standing up for her rights. Always.
Yeah.
She's always
yeah.
one of those.
And you should.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's,
yeah.
that's it's funny because I was having a dialogue the other night. I was telling you about this, Patty, offline, and we were talking about it. And I was talking to somebody who was, you know, talking about, you know, who unfortunately voted for Trump and was saying, well, everybody was ragging on Trump, but the Kennedys did it. The Kennedys were abusive. Clinton... And you know what? Right. All these people abused their power, all these men, but they didn't brag about it. They didn't. Kennedy, of course, there were so many women with him. He didn't, I mean, I'm sure the small circle of people did know, but he didn't say that it was all right publicly because, you know what, maybe if it wasn't even moral, he knew it would affect his public standing, his political standing. So he didn't brag about it. Clinton didn't brag about it. This one that we have, Cheeto Head, is bragging about it. That is the difference. That is the difference. And you know what? I was talking to this person. You
what
realize,
name is that? Cheeto Head?
Cheeto Head.
Cheeto, like Cheeto.
He's orange. He's orange. I refuse
that's
to call him the president. But this is the difference between him and everybody else. Yeah, did it always exist? Hell yeah, from George Washington.
There's no class. That's the problem. There's no class there.
Yep.
And there's not a classy, strong enough woman maybe to his right side.
He is such a hot mess. It's a hot mess. Every day is a hot mess.
Well, and that's you know, every day, I mean, our bar of standards has gone so low that anything that happens, it's like we've become desensitized. I have people in Paris that are telling me, oh, you don't know, you guys made the headlines again. And at first we were laughing stock, and now the rest of the world realizes what he does affects them too. So now everybody's panicking.
Mm.
Everybody's panicking.
Yeah.
At first it was a joke. Now it's not.
Yeah.
So
there's nothing funny ever.
No.
Absolutely.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
But see, this is what I'm saying. Last year at this time, you know, everything that's happening with Weinstein is horrible, but we've heard it all before in different scenarios. But there's public outrage now because of what is being represented. And
exactly. We
have misogynists, narcissists. I don't even know what else to say. I mean, I would take up half the show, but this is what's running the country. So now it's like it's the genie is out of the bottle. There's the pass on bad behavior that's given out to the millions of people that voted for him.
Yeah, and he always will because he's got all the power, and he's got more power now than ever. So he will get away with it no matter what. No matter what, he'll get away with it.
Yeah.
And you keep teaching the women. There is nothing he's going to do.
You know what's interesting?
We kind of
talked about who were the women that voted for him.
Mm-hmm.
I know women that voted for him, and they are very they really listen to their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their voice is what I'm trying to say. And if it is their voice, they're not educated enough, informed enough, or strong enough to see what a different opinion might be. And so I think that the only hope is to keep doing what people like Lori and Alita are doing with this radio show and what a lot of women are doing with movements and speaking and standing out is just teaching women to continue to be strong and to have a voice and what's right and wrong.
And there's backlash on it. There's going to be a tipping point.
I think
we're reaching it.
Exactly. And let's get them out of there. I mean, because that's the only thing we can hope for, in my opinion.
I agree.
Strength in numbers.
I spoke and Elite was there. Elite was, you know, kind enough to run the camera as I was doing this. I was speaking at an event last week. And one of the things that I went into was how, I mean, as women, we can't rewrite history. We can't go all the way back and rewind and then decide that, okay, you know what, the game is not really lined in our favor, so, you know, let's do it. We have to do it as small as we could do it on a daily basis, however it is within our personality, to revise history, even if it means doing something small, like saying, you know, like not taking a seat, or whatever it is, something small that pushes women forward, or carrying your own bags to the car, even if it's whatever feels comfortable for you to do, that's what we need to do. Because you know what, to the little girl that's growing up 40 years from now, we're the ones that matter to her. We're the Bella Abzug.
Yes.
We're the Gloria Steinem. That's who we are now, and we have to take that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Raising a child in this day and age is an extremely big and difficult job. And hopefully enough of us can be informed and help to make a difference, to change. That's a small little thing for each little person who's doing it, but it ends up being a big thing.
Yeah.
You know,
right. It affects the whole consciousness.
Being mentors
it affects the whole consciousness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does your children like know what's happening with the world?
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They do. I'm lucky that I live in a city where there were more people outraged about Trump
not. So I'm happy because I do live in suburbia in New Jersey in Bergen County, and it's a very mixed area, you know, Democrat and Republican. But I don't know. Is it? This is what's sad to me. Okay, what's sad to me is that the president is a mock. There's a mockery. It's sad to me that the president of the United States, that my kids are growing up in a generation where he is a joke and he is being mocked. He's being made mocked because of who he is and his actions. But that saddens me. So, but that's another topic. But it's so they are aware. They're not frightened because of what goes on in our four walls as far as we try to make them feel safe and secure and and just, you know, in that sense. But they're aware. And the teens, if I may say, because some teen actually exposed my kids to this song. I'm going to say a bad word here, but there is a song on the internet called Fuck Donald Trump.
Really?
And they,
what's it called?
Yes, there is. And
you can say it.
Can I say it on the radio?
Oh, absolutely.
On
say
the
it.
Blog here. It's called Fuck Donald Trump, and it's a video, and it's a song.
Huh.
And they exposed my child to it. And I'm bringing this up because you asked me if my kids are aware of it. I mean, so my kids are then it opened up such a Pandora box of language, of a certain culture, of stereotyping a certain race of people. It was so awful.
Yeah.
On
like
so
he did with everything
levels,
else.
I couldn't believe I was dealing with that many topics in one sitting. So, yes, they are. The adolescents are aware of it. It's definitely a town where I think the awareness is there, and they seem to be, most people seem to be, the teacher, what my child said to me is that his teacher made statements that were completely, like, against Trump. I mean, so it's, I don't know, it's such a, so there's the answer. It was a long-winded answer, but it's tough being a parent with a child growing up in this situation because on so many levels, you know, it being the president, you know, it's just, it's
I know, I don't think
we've
ever been in a position where somebody who's supposed to represent, you know, be such
our
a
country.
Big figurehead is seen as such a, you know, despicable
the opposite
human
of everything
being. I mean, I remember when Kennedy was shot as a kid, I was devastated. But with Trump, it's like, he's like a jest. Everybody's like, it's like the emperor's new clothes. Everybody sees he's naked now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's bizarre.
The thing is, I mean, I've disagreed with different, you know, of course, you know, I'm a liberal Democrat, but I've disagreed with people on policy, never on character. I mean, I never thought that George W. was, you know, an effective president, but I never thought as a human being he was deplorable. I never thought, I mean, I knew he probably, you know, just was ill-suited. And we thought differently about the country, but did I think he was a vile human being? Never, never once.
That's the thing. This
never
guy's
once.
A vile human being.
Yeah.
And
well,
I
message does that send to everybody that he's a vile human being who acts out and does all these inappropriate
like
things?
A baby.
Yet he's the leader.
Baby. I know.
It's going to take a lot of work to try to, how do you
I don't know if it's
going
to happen, though, because no matter what he does, he gets away with it. No matter what he does or says, he gets away with
but
it.
But you know what I think is also interesting, and I don't know, and then Elite and I were talking about this before, and I'm not saying for the record that he's doing anything inappropriate with his daughter, but the way that he treats his daughter, I mean, either he just, I mean, he is completely that far out of it that he doesn't realize that there was such a inappropriate behavior in the way, I don't know.
He has this behavior that's like,
but,
look what I can do
but
with
no,
my
but
daughter.
See, no, no, no,
look,
no.
I could do
but,
anything
but
I want.
I know Neanderthal men, unfortunately, really just one, and they would never say they date their daughter, ever, because that would imply everything else. This man has said that. This man, I mean,
he's a
touches
gross
his daughter.
Human being. He's a gross human being.
But this is what I'm saying.
I think Yeah. Good. You know what it is? I think that, and who am I? But I do think that he just loves that his daughter is beautiful. Because that,
yeah,
in his mind is like,
it's
that's
a piece
just,
of him.
Well,
look what I created.
Yeah, but there's more than
that. Because of me.
No, but there's more than that.
But it's
that's
all
right.
About
to sexualize
him.
Your daughter is not
a
paternal
instinct.
Him.
No,
yeah,
matter what.
You know, a friend of mine who, Joe Raiola, who is a senior editor at Mad Magazine and a does stand up comedy and stuff, made a statement just recently that America is a dickocracy, and I think that sums it up pretty darn good.
Yeah,
ain't that the truth?
But unfortunately, and this is again the wonderful thing about all of the hideous stuff that is coming out of Washington is that it's alarming us to the sense that we are, and I don't want to say I'm not going to use overreacting. But this Harvey Weinstein, it's nothing new. But we are challenging it in a way that we haven't before. Again, Anita Hill happened. All these things.
Again,
Jennifer Flowers.
Social media
all these
is big
things.
Now too. Wasn't
but,
as them back
but
then
I,
also.
You know what?
Anita Hill. There was no social media
of
then.
Of course, and Jennifer Flowers. There wasn't. But what I'm trying to say is, it is hitting us deeper than it ever has before because
it's easier to speak our voice without.
Because there's more to lose now. And I think that women recognize
that
there is far more to lose than we ever had before.
Right.
I mean, our rights could be wiped away in 2 months.
Yeah.
So I think that women and the supportive men beside them realize we have a lot more to lose than we ever had even in past administrations over the past 20 years. We have more to lose now than we ever have. And I think that's why it's hitting us so deeply. You know what I'm saying, ladies?
Agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
It was like a cricket back there.
Time. Well, no, because you know what it is? I'll tell you why I went cricket, because I was like, wow, I was saying earlier how happy I am that, I love the cricket. You know, that I'm able to raise my daughter with the information that I have, and but yet, so there's this whole dichotomy of, but we're like with this backward president, and we're worried that all of a sudden we're going to have no rights. But on the other side of the coin, a lot of us have more knowledge and have more experience and are speaking up. So this,
we won't let that happen
to
us.
Yeah. Right, that's where the cricket came for me. As I was like, it was a big like, hold on a minute, you know what I mean? I was like processing.
What's with the cricket?
We have them in
the
room.
She has the sound effects. And occasionally, sometimes when the show's gone dead or I said something about her that she made the cricket.
She calls me the cricket.
Well, because, you know, it's an in joke. I've said if she ever had to do this herself, it would just be cricket noises in the background. So we have that. So before you ladies leave, I want to go around and is there anything that you guys want to shout out? Any products, any Patty, any performances, winter, anything, any workshops you're doing, whoever wants to start.
Well, I have my speakeasies coming up again the first weekend in November, first Sunday in November at a new venue, the wonderful Nolke Gallery run by a fabulous artist and writer. It's a great, cozy space. And then I will be doing at the Colony in November, Armistice Day.
What are you
going
to be doing, Patty, in the Colony?
Oh, beautiful.
It turns out that I am going to be performing with some fabulous people, the Red Microphone.
Oh, wow. I heard
and,
about
that. Happens
sure
to have a fabulous bass player named Lori.
Right. So, there you go.
Oh my goodness, are you kidding me?
No. She's performing with us. We actually have a big venue in the Colony in Woodstock, New York. And Patty is going to be joining us with legendary poet Amina Baraka.
Amina, yeah.
Coming on. And, you know, she's
this is amazing.
And she's going to be coming on with us, and Patty's going to be performing with us. It's going to be November 11th. It's going to be a great night.
Where are you guys? Where is it?
This is going to be in Woodstock, New York.
And this is the 11th. All right, you have to keep reminding that, and we need to make. I would love to come see that.
And you know what? You guys should stay overnight because you know it's we're going on. I think about 8 o'clock. You know, and you know, driving home on those roads, the dark roads.
No,
I'm encouraging everybody. Just stay over. You have a Woodstock morning the next day. It's really nice.
Plus, it's a great. It's going to be a really incredible event, and it's just such a wonderful venue. I'm excited to see it since it's been.
Yes.
A new owner and refurbished. It was gorgeous to begin with.
Yeah, like
and then,
it.
Of course, the area is just so much fun to, like, you know, hang out and explore.
Yeah, it's
lovely up there.
And is that a Saturday evening, ladies? Is that a Saturday evening?
It's a Saturday
okay.
night, yeah.
All right, something to keep on the table. That is really awesome.
It is really good, and we're expecting a really nice crowd, and it's just going to be, you know, really important stuff. So, and Patty is always wonderful. Patty and I have worked together in the past, and she's just absolutely wonderful. As a musician, I love working with her, but she's just, and she brings her own audience, too. She's quite a legend in Woodstock, so.
It's just going to be a nice to collaborate again. I'm so looking forward to it.
In a while, yes, absolutely.
A night to remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any products or anything you want to mention, honey?
I would love to say that I hope, I'm happy. Of course, my product is Belcore Body Buffer, and we hope to be in stock by the end of November, December, finally, after many months of being out of stock. So look out for the product, and girls, you'll be getting one.
Oh,
and a shout-out, of course,
yay.
To Jeffrey Saunders.
Jeffrey,
I was going to say it
when I mentioned John, but we'll say it now, too.
Shout out to Jeffrey, who is Jeffrey Saunders PR, who does all my PR and is the most wonderful man on the planet in so many ways.
Aww.
So thanks.
Charming. Congrats. And charming and funny. Yes.
Yeah, no, totally. Thank you.
Winter?
Nice.
Something on the horizon. I'm reaching here for things to shout out after all those great shout outs, but I do have a girlfriend who is opening a gym boutique, and it's going to specialize in a certain type of class that she's asked me to collaborate on and build with her. And when indeed it opens up, which I think should be in a couple of months, maybe we can talk about it and talk up the
definitely.
Class. And
We'll have her on. Yeah, well, we could have a show
That
there.
Would be amazing.
Yeah,
that
we could even have
amazing.
A show there and
so,
do it live.
You know, this
that
is something that, you know, she asked me to partner with, and she's sort of she'll be the business owner and running it, but, you know, she knows me as the person that would have the ability to sort of choreograph the class and sort of make it the class that it is. Believe it or not, it involves a skateboard, you know, how I did that surfboard thing. But this is a skateboard that's on it, and then it has, like, pulleys above it, and it's popular in Europe. And anyway, it should be fun and exciting, and of course, every new business needs a shout-out and needs advertising and stuff and new fun people to try it. So that's on the horizon.
Oh, that sounds
There's
great.
My thing.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Can
Thank
I give a
you.
Shout-out?
Thank
Can
you.
Can I give a shout-out to something? Can I give a shout out to something? Okay. I don't know if you know that Elite's a very, very, very talented photographer. She's actually
she's amazing.
Okay, if you haven't liked her Instagram page, it's Elite Photos 822. She's actually going my husband is writing a book about the life of Amina Baraka, and she's going to be probably doing the cover photo. And she's also going to be coming down to my gig next week on the 30th, and she's going to be taking some shots. So look out for the pictures. And her texts are on sale. Her prints are on sale. She just has a nice little photo business, and she's quite talented. That's the only nice thing I'm going to say about her.
Elite Photos. What is your page? Elite Photos.
822.
I've seen your pictures on Instagram, and
I love
them. Is
she amazing?
Yes.
Is she amazing?
Yes, she is, and I love the pictures.
That's enough to make me join Instagram right there. That's enough to make me get on board.
I'm serious.
Seriously.
There are pictures there that I just like say, oh, my God, you know, that's the difference between your Aunt Bertha taking a picture and an actual artist taking a picture.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And the emotion and the depth in the pictures, and I mean that sincerely.
Yes.
You really can tell the difference. So
Absolutely.
Bravo.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So like her Instagram. Salute, it's true.
Thank you.
Salute, thank you.
Elite, they're gorgeous, gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
Honest.
Thank you so much.
She's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful photographer. Absolutely wonderful. And with saying that, we want to thank you three ladies. Thank
yes.
you very much
thank you for
joining
thank
us. You.
A spirited,
always
important
you.
Conversation.
Yes, always
and,
important.
And thank you, Nancy Donahue, Patricia Martin, Winter Gabriel. You'll be back on again next month. And thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Have a great
Have
day.
Always
everybody.
A pleasure. Thank
always
you.
A pleasure.
Love.
Bye-bye,
bye-bye,
guys.
Bye-bye.
Love you guys. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye,
bye-bye.
Loves. Take care.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, Nancy. And that was a wonderful conversation.
Yes, it was.
That was a wonderful conversation. And, you know, it's funny because it's, like I said, it just, it takes a life of its own, and then we have to reel it back a little bit. But,
yeah.
You know, it just, it's...
Well, it's stuff that needs to be heard all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Even if you hear it, it's never enough.
Yeah.
Never enough.
And that's the thing, it, you know, and it's funny because when you speak to people that... get what you're saying and they're, you know, aligned with you, you know, there's no convincing. And it's like, you know, when you speak in different groups and they're like kind of like, yeah, and it's, you know, a lot of what you're saying is going over their head. It kind of like, you know, when I speak, you know, it's just kind of like when you know when the audience
you
is
know,
with you.
Right. You
yeah.
know, and
but when you're sitting
you know,
there and
right.
they're
you're
like, you
like,
know.
They look like they're doe-eyed
they're like,
and like,
they,
what?
They don't understand. It's just like,
yeah.
Okay, you know.
You know you get
through,
the wrong crowd.
You know, you get through your 45 minutes and you're saying, ah, you know, what can I do? But, you know. Words are important, and you know, ladies out there, men out there who are supporting the ladies, just go out there and make a difference.
Yeah.
Say something. Don't stay silent. Talk about with your friends, with people that you treasure, people that you trust. Get this information out there, because it will affect. If you think it's not going to affect anybody but you, you're wrong, because you're keeping silent. Will affect the next 100 women. So keep that in mind when you remain voiceless.
Right.
So that's all I'm saying on the subject. Sponsor roll call.
Woohoo! Do it. Let's do it.
Fall is a time for falls. You're going to fall in the fall. And what you need is... Topperson.
There you go.
Topperson will. You got a knee bump, Topperson. I told you my mother-in-law fell on her face close to 2 weeks ago. Threw some Topperson on that chick's face, and let me tell you something. That swelling is down. The purple. You know what? I'm thinking of her face, and I'm getting
upset.
Verklempt. The purple was taken out of her face. She healed, I would say, that with ice. She healed probably 50% faster than she would have without Topperson. Topperson Jr., Topperson Foot Formula, Topperson, 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 Fibromyalgia, Sports Cream. What else?
Burn Firm Formula.
Burn Formula. What
Juniors.
Else? What else? That's it. Afterburn,
we got the Afterburn, yeah.
Okay. www.topperson.com.
Come.
Muscle Sport Magazine. Buy it online. Buy it offline. $32 a year. It'll do it. You know, you get some nice little articles in there. Why not? $32. I don't know what magazine I get for $32 a
nothing.
Year. Absolutely nothing. Not even a paper.
No.
Not even like a weekly subscription of the Daily News.
No.
I don't know what I got to ask. How much it costs? Probably like $1. No, it probably costs more than that. $10 a week, I bet you, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that. So, MuscleSportMag.com. Go on there. T-shirts for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So you might want to get lovely pink T-shirts that says MSM. So pick those up. I think they're dirt cheap, like $12. And they come in like different shapes, sizes. I think there's a tank as well. So go see them. New York State Women Incorporated, who spoke there last week.
You did.
Thank you.
What a great speech.
Thank you. I didn't even
really
see you.
Really was a great speech.
I was too busy
speech.
With the camera. I didn't even see your face.
Well, yeah, I was taking pictures of you. Anybody
pictures.
Saw pictures on our page,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
where they
yeah,
came
yeah,
from.
Yeah, 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 And yeah, and they do wonderful things for women all over the area. They deal with outreach as far as shelters and homeless population and drug rehab and so on and so forth, New York State. And you know what? If you go to their page, come on, Cheapskate, it doesn't cost you anything to like their page. You will see our Fitness Fridays. You will see our little posts. You will get
you will see everything that Lori puts up there.
You will get all the information for free that we give you, New York State Women Incorporated. And that's our show.
Woo,
like
woo,
to
woo.
Thank, shout out, wait. Shout out, even though Nancy mentioned him already, Jeffrey Saunders, you know how much we love you. We can't tell you how much we love you. It would be another show to tell you how much we love you. He is the one that handles her PR and works in concert with our PR, which is John Pietaro, New Masses Media. They both boys play nice together. There's no fighting. There's no backbiting. They play nice, and they get the information disseminated. So thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, John. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank the audience. Couldn't do it without you, people. Couldn't do it without you. And thank you. We'll be back next week. Go out there. Make a difference in your life. Make a difference in somebody else's life. Make it a wonderful day. Be kind. Be strong. Go out there. Make it a good one. Take us home, Nina. Take us home, Elite. Bye-bye.
One, two.